On the way to chapel this morning, I couldn't help but notice the unbelievable view that we have here from right outside our door. The lake is beautiful, the grass is beautiful, the trees. The sun was just coming in through one of the pine trees and made its reflection on the water, and I couldn't help but think that all is really beautiful in the world. Well, it's not. It absolutely isn't. I remembered this morning what I saw on TV when I turned the news on, and there were thousands of people crowded around a body of water just like our little lake here, trying to survive. The refugees over in Africa in thousands are dying every day. And I can't forget the look on the mother's face as she looked into the camera and she held her dead baby. Next to her were her two children that were screaming with disease and pain. Not 2 feet away was a bloated body half submerged in the water, and people were around it dipping in their cups for just a precious drop of water. I can still see her face. She looked out through horrified eyes as if to say, "Why? What have I done to deserve this? What have my children done to deserve this?" And Rod gave us the answer as he read the word very clearly this morning in verse 23 of the 6th chapter of Romans. The wages of sin is death. A hard, cold fact. Pain, sorrow, disease, calamity, any number of forms of death physically, and then ultimately spiritual death. And Satan has spent thousands of years to deceive and convince man that what he read this morning was an absolute lie. He repeats the same tactic he did in Genesis 3 verse 4 when he came to Eve and said, "Eve, you will not surely die if you disobey the commands of God." Eve, the wages of disobeying God is satisfaction, gratitude. You'll be everything you want to be. You will know all that you need to know, and you will be like him. He lied then. He lies today. He never presents sin the way it really is. You see, sin is an employer, and it pays a deadly wage. God's law demands that that wage is paid. It's bound to that conclusion. God spoke through Ezekiel. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. How much clearer can it be made to all mankind? But Satan makes it look like the result of sin is satisfaction and pleasure, gratification, everything you need. But he knows deep inside in his doomed state that at the last day, those that reject the gospel message will spend eternity with him in eternal torment. That's a fact. Sin is like an evil master. It's like a tyrant. It's like an evil master that found a blacksmith to work for him. And the blacksmith agreed to become his slave because the working conditions were great. And the master said to the slave, "Go and make me a chain." And so he did so. And he came back with a chain and said, "These are the works of my hands. Look at them." And the master said, "No, you go and make it longer and you make it stronger." And so the blacksmith did. He went into his shop, came back with a chain that he had such pride in. And then the master said, "Now, guards, wrap him in that chain and cast him into eternal fire." So the wage of what he thought was his best work was eternal doom. Our minds can't possibly imagine, comprehend, or fathom the eternity spent separated from God. But worse than being wrapped in your own chains would be the fact that one would know that they made the choice to serve that master. Paul continually warns about that in our gospel reading this morning. Satan doesn't stop at misquoting scripture. He goes on to go into everybody's domain and approach them with this lie. Well, if you haven't been a murderer, or you haven't raped, or if you don't rob banks, you certainly don't qualify for eternal damnation. In fact, the consequence of a decent life isn't bad at all. In Romans earlier, Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." 1 John verse 8 in the first chapter, "If we claim to have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth isn't in us." The fourth chapter of James makes it so clear. Anyone who knows what he ought to do and he doesn't do it, sins. Sounds to me like all mankind now is definitely convicted, guilty, deserving of the wages of sin. He's wrapped up in his handmade chain, doomed to eternal punishment, helpless against the condemnation of all iniquities. But Paul says in the fifth chapter of Romans that just when the right time came, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. There is no greater rescue story in history. And the last part of the text that Rod read says the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, our Savior. The chain is broken. The wage of sin has been overcome by the risen Savior, testified with an empty tomb. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "God made him sin who knew no sin, so that we might be made righteous, free." Free. Deliverance from the wages of sin is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Our eternal hope and joy is a gift from God. Now, history makes it perfectly clear. There's no question what we are really like. All you need to do is take a close look in Genesis of what the world was like before the flood. Turn your head just a little bit and see where we are now. All one needs to do is look at the Holocaust. Well, we have one going on right at this point in Africa also. All you need to do is look at the LA riots. All one has to do is turn on the television here in Fort Wayne, and there's more murder than we could comprehend when we came to the seminary. But we're not off the hook. That's not somewhere else. Tonight, while we lie in bed, all we need to do is take a close look at our heart, and we'll see the stains of pride. Dr. Degner said that one of the missionary students has now gone back and left here. And after 2 years, Dr. Degner said, "How did you like our campus and your time here?" And he said, "I didn't." The ego of so many students got in the way of my talking about the ministry. And man's worst is indicated when the towering shadow of Calvary is before him and he rejects the offer of that sacrifice given by the Lamb without blemish. Although man feverishly looks around to work his way out of his chains, in Acts, Luke writes in the fourth chapter, "Salvation is found in none other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." because of our nature, there's no possible way we can accept this gift. I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or even come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified, kept me in the true faith. That is certainly true. Our faith is based on that confession. As did that helpless mother over there that I saw on television. As she cried out, why, so is the world right now. And we have the answer. We're preparing. We're getting ready to serve congregations that need to hear that simple gospel message. What a privilege. We have an awesome privilege of the astounding gift of God that has no strings attached in his unconditional love for you and me. In Jesus, we have the death of the sting of the grave. And death is absolutely the beginning to life. There has never been a more opportune time in history for you to go into the ministry. Never. Absolutely perfect time in a world that needs to hear the 23rd verse of our gospel reading this morning. We need to humbly accept this phenomenal honor, this privilege of leading his sheep and reaching the lost. Let's go now and prepare to serve his people with the attitude, though, of Paul himself as he writes to the church in Ephesus and says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given to me by the working and the power to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. The world needs to hear, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen.